Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone with the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So we see in the word of God that faith is important, because without it, we cannot please our Heavenly Father. It did not say prayer is what pleases him. It did not say worship or even fellowship. It said faith. So in terms of priority, and all those other subjects are important and we must be obedient to them, but faith is the one that pleases our Heavenly Father. We have to understand that faith is a gift which comes from God, given to us at the new birth. He gives us faith, but that faith has to be developed. Amen. Faith is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven. Faith is the key that moves the hand of the Almighty. Faith is the key by which you can obtain the desires of your heart. Faith is that which pleases God. Amen. And also, that faith has to be brought to a place of strength. Because once you receive faith at the new birth, that faith has to be matured. It has to be exercised so you can work, live, and act in strong faith. Amen. We are continuing our teaching on we must know the reality of God's word. The six principles of obtaining strong faith. We have six principles that I believe that if you know and understand these principles, you can walk in strong faith. Principle number one was, you must know and understand the reality of God's word. Number two, you must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. You must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Amen. You must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. You must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. And principle number six, you must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, our last time together, we were discussing principle number three. You must know and understand the reality of the new creation. You have to know and understand that this is not an idea or philosophy or a figment of someone's imagination or a denominational disclosure. You must know the fact that you have been made a new creature in Christ. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And please go to verse number 17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. So we see here in the word of God, it says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. That's one that has never, ever been created before. And I want to explain something to you because it says old things have passed away. That means your old past, your sinning, and all the other things that you did that was against God's principles are no longer operative in your life. They have been passed away. It says, behold, all things have become new. You are that new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. That knowledge will have a tremendous influence upon the way you live your life. Amen. We were discussing sin consciousness, and we found out that sin consciousness is a tool of the devil to rob us of our legal rights in God. Understanding the reality of the new creation and who you are in Christ because of the blood of Jesus can free you from sin consciousness once and for all. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. Again, that's John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to read verse 34 through 35. And it says, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son obeys or abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What Jesus is explaining, if you are a servant of sin, then sin is your master. Amen. If you commit sin, then you are serving your master, which is sin. But praise God, you have been free from that master sin. When Jesus said in verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You have been freed from that master, which is sin. Sin does not have any legal dominion over your life anymore. You have been set free. But that does not mean that sin is still not around. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, but the devil is still here. So sin is still around. It means you are free from the legal hold that he has on you, and you don't have to serve him anymore. Amen. Don't fool yourself into thinking that sin is still not there. Sin is there, and you can commit it anytime you get ready. You need to know and understand that you have been set free legally from sin. It has no legal dominion over you. When tests, trials, and temptations come, you don't have to sin. You can refuse to participate by submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. Actually, he will physically run from you. Praise God. And you just keep right on stepping. Someone might say you have to pray every day because you know you have sinned in some way. Well, that is a lie the devil wants to plant in your mind to keep you in sin consciousness. You know when you sin. And if you don't think you have sinned, well, forget it and just keep on stepping. You can certainly count on this if you don't have to sin, or if you don't have the sin consciousness or sin guilt conscience. Don't try to make one up. Don't try to make anything up, because I guarantee you that's whenever you sin, the devil will be the first one to let you know about it. Don't ruin your faith by working yourself into a false feeling of condemnation so that you can confess something. You know, a lot of people just want to confess something because they feel like they're being holy or humble. But don't be foolish. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 14 through 16. And it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Family, you are righteous. You don't have to do anything to get righteousness. You are righteous and you should live righteously. Amen. You don't do good works to get righteous. Let me repeat that, because some people, a lot of people, think they have to work for their righteousness. You don't do good works to get righteous. When the Apostle Paul said, what communion has light with darkness? He is informing us that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. When Jesus was here, he said this. He said he was the light of the world, and he told us, his children, to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works. So there is light in you. Amen. Verse 15 of that same chapter says, and what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now, Baal stands for satanic things, Satan or demons. But we're Christ-like. He is the head and we are the body. So the head and the body are one and the same. Amen. The head is as much Christ as the body, and the body is as much Christ as the head. You got to understand that. Finally, in verse 16, he goes on to tell us, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Family, we are the people of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. We have been born again. We are new creatures in Christ, one that has never been created before. We have been set free from sin and its dominion. God has forgotten about your past sins. He doesn't remember them anymore, and you shouldn't remember them anymore. We thank God for his grace and continue to walk on as his children. We take those things that God has made available to us through Christ's redemptive work on Calvary and begin to live the overcoming and victorious life. Amen. Then you will know and understand the reality of the new creation. Amen. Well, that concludes that teaching on that particular principle, number 3. Now, principle number 4. You must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Again, principle number 4. You must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Now, many Christians who believe in God and Jesus Christ and go to church on a regular basis would count it blasphemy if they didn't go to church, and they would not feel right for the rest of the week. Yet, they have not learned how to exercise strong faith. When they pray, they always ask God for more faith. They always ask God for more faith. You know, I wonder why they do that. Because you know what? God has given to us the measure of faith. We all have been given the same amount of faith. If God has given you more faith than he's given me, then he would be an unjust God. Because we know God is not a respected person. What he does, for one, he's obligated by his word to do for another. If you're in Christ and you know him as your personal Savior and Lord, guess what? You have faith. If you say you do not have faith, then you are calling God a liar. And I don't think you want to go there. The Bible tells us that we have faith. What's wrong is many people have faith, but their faith is weak. That's why it won't operate it. Let me give you an example. Have you ever came out to your car from your house, opened your car door, and got inside, put the key in the ignition, turned the key, and the car wouldn't start? It started to turn over, but the battery was too weak. You finally realized that you left your lights on and ran down the battery. Consequently, your battery is weak and will not help you in the state that it is presently in. Well, neither will weak faith help you and start things progressing in your life spiritually. You have to have strong faith. If you want the best, and we should always be shooting for the best that God has to offer and the best that is available to you. God wants you to have the best, but only if it's secure and procured by or through the avenues of faith. Amen. Because faith is what pleases our Heavenly Father. We should be interested in strong faith. And the Bible tells us we can have it. When you begin to move into the arena of strong faith, things will begin to move for you in your spiritual life. You know what? God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you would not have room enough to receive it. Amen. When you're in that arena of strong faith, hallelujah, God understands and he opens up those windows. Many people believe God. Many people believe the Bible, and they will tell you they believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. And it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you are healed, that means you are not sick. If you are not sick, you don't need an operation, right? Others are saying they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. The cost of living is up. Things are really tough. And they don't really know what to do or how they're going to make it. How are they going to go from day to day? With the prices as high as they are, how are they going to make it? Well, you just told me you believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Well, what happened to Philippians 4:19? Go there with me, please. Philippians 4:19. You said you believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Well, okay, what happened to Philippians 4:19? And it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What happened to that then? No, you run around here moaning and groaning about you don't know how things are going to meet. No, God said he will supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Faith is acting on what you believe. It is more than just believing. You have to act on what you believe. You have to take what you believe and then do something about it. That's what faith is. Faith is doing something about what you believe. Hallelujah. If you say you believe something and you are not doing it, you are fooling yourself. If you say you believe God's word, that you believe the Bible and God, but you still are whipped with sickness and disease, you are still under the poverty trap, and you don't have enough to make ends meet, then something is wrong. Amen. Either your understanding of faith is incorrect, or you are acting in foolishness or presumption. If you have faith, then use it. Exercise it. That's why God gave it to us. So far, we have discussed the following principles. Principle number one, you must know and understand the reality of God's word. Principle number two, you must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Principle number three, you must know and understand the reality of the new creation, that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And now we're going to begin to discuss principle number four, which is you must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Let me repeat that. Principle number four, you must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. If you want to be successful as a Christian, until you know and understand all these things that we have discussed, not think them, not hope them, but know and understand them as a reality, as a vital part of your everyday life. Until then, you will be a beggar in spiritual matters. Knowing is not the same as understanding. Knowing is staying on the surface. Understand is going beneath the surface. Knowing is having a ton of information. Understand is connecting that information to the full manifestation of that particular subject. Amen. When you realize these principles are true and make them a part of your everyday life, you will begin to act like what the Bible says is true and to begin doing what the Bible says to do. Then you will possess strong faith. Then you will learn to be obedient to these principles. You will no longer be a victim of circumstances. Well, I'm just about out of time, but please remember this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.